Railway Stories from the Monsall Trail, the Railway Workers. This episode features the voices of the railway workers who worked on the stations and trains, many from the age of steam.
My name is Elizabeth Nesbitt. At the moment, I was called Elizabeth Sellers when I worked on the railway at Millersdale. And I started in 1951 on the station, and I finished in 1965. And I worked as a goods clerk on the station down, well, you know, obviously we dealt with all the goods traffic that was passing through Millersdale station. When I started, I was junior clerk. I had a senior clerk. And my job at the time was just kind of, we dealt with a lot of corn. We had three corn merchants there, Bibby, Silcock, and Leavers, and we had a huge shed, which was full of cattle food, and it came in big vans, ordered by the agents, and then we delivered it. We had to deliver it to the farms. They gave us orders, and we had to ring a carrier up, and we had to deliver all this to the farms. That was part of the job. And then also, we had three coal merchants on the site. They were called, I've got them all down somewhere. Lomas, and we had the co-op and Mr. Bone. And in those days, they had little officers, coal officers, just as you come in the gate. And the coal used to come in, and then they used to bag it and deliver it to the local villages all round. So we had to deal with all that. And also, we had two enormous limestone quarries. We had ICI at Buxton Works, and we had Topley Pipe Works. And they loaded limestone in their quarries, and we had to order wagons, the mineral wagons, to go into the quarries. And every morning we had to get in touch with the two quarries to find out what they wanted for the following day. And then they'd say, well, I want 30 mineral wagons or so and so. And then we had to order it from the depots down at Derby. And actually they came in from Rosely Yard. And then every night mineral wagons went up to the quarries and they were loaded. And then they were dispatched all over the country where they needed the limestone. And then every night they would bring dispatch. We had a checker and he'd go round to the quarries and he'd get the bills. And next day I had to cost them all out how much we were going to charge them for the use of the wagon and also for the journey. And I used to have to put all different rates on. And at the end of every month I used to have to send bills, big accounts, to the ICI and to Topley Pipe, which was a branch of Derbyshire Stone. And that was another part of my job, which we had to do. And also we had to deal with the general public. They would come in, the farmers, and sometimes they'd say they wanted to send a bull, shall we say, to Scotland, and we used to have to order a cattle truck. And also we used to have to tell them how much it was going to cost them to send these animals. We had those. And generally we dealt with post. Every morning I had to collect the post from the head office in Manchester. And at the end of every month, we had to do what they call an account current. And we had to cost everything to the last penny. It had to balance to the penny. And also, I don't know whether you know, but Millersdale was a post office. We had a little post office there. And we had our own stamps and everything. And we had to send mail out. But generally, it was quite... And also, there's lots of other little jobs. We had to deal with a lot of members of the public coming in who wanted to do various things, especially farmers. They used to want various things, and we dealt with them. So it was quite a busy day. We worked from 8 o'clock. I started at 8 o'clock in the morning and finished at 5 at night, and an hour for dinner. And when I started, I got £1.50. Well, it was 30 shillings in those days, and that was my wage as a junior clerk. So, but in those days, of course, it went a lot farther, didn't it? So that was good. But it was a very busy, busy station, because we dealt with all the mainline traffic running from Manchester Central to St Pancras, and we had quite a big staff. And also on Platform 4, we had a permanent way staff that dealt with all the permanent way that would repair it, and the main office was on our station. So it was quite a big staff of porters, and then there was the foreman. Then we had two booking clerks, and we had a station master. And he lived actually on the station, up on the side of the station in a very nice house. And then, of course, we had signalmen. We had the box, Millersdale box, and he was a local chap. He was called Mr. Spratt when I was there. And then, of course, we had the box higher up at the beginning of the station.
Well, my name is Kenneth Munns, and I came up to work on the Munsledale station in 1947. And I moved to Bakewell in 1948, and I was a porter guard at Bakewell for just over 12 months. And then I moved back to Great Longston Station, where I stopped there until about 1950, some 51, I think, something like that. And then I left the company for about 6 years. Then I went back again on in 1957, and I went to Great Longston then for a short while, because, as it happened, the day I started back again, the porter died. And then I applied for a signalman's job at Lime Sidings at Millersdale, which I was there until 1961, and then I moved down to Munsledale, and I was there until I was made redundant in 1966 by the famous Dr. Beeching. To operate the signals, it was worked on a release from the signal box in advance, where you passed the description of the train onto the box in advance, and that they give you what they call a line clear, and which enable you to pull your signals off. And then when the train passed you, you sent a signal which was a train entering section, and then when it passed you, you sent train outer section to the box in rear, which was the normal procedure for block working. And all the signals were electrically locked by the indicator that was worked from the box in advance. But the signals themselves, they varied. Whether sometimes they were easy to pull off because they weren't very far away, but if you got one that was a long way away, it was needed a bit of brute force and ignorance. It was all cabled. The points were worked by rodding.
Could you say a bit more about what it was like to work in the box?
Oh, you were on your own. You worked three 8-hour shifts, 6 to 2, 2 to 10 and 10 to 6 nights. And say you were on your own. You just had, you got communication with the either boxes either side, or even with the control office at Derby.
So how long was there between trains?
Well, the running time for an express train or a slow passenger train was between Munsledale and Millersdale was probably three and a half minutes. But with a freight train, it could be anything about 10, 12 minutes. Where at same as at Millersdale, you'd you ran onto four lines away, and it was dependent on what on the trains on the down line, whether the signal at Millersdale put them onto a slow line or not, whether he got a margin to let a freight train run, because he worked on a margin of how long it took a freight train to clear a certain point before so as you wouldn't stop an express or a passenger train.
Timing was very important between the trains.
Yes. Oh, yes, you were. A lot of people think freight trains just ran when they could, but they were all programmed, same as any other train, a freight train. It wasn't just, run willy-nilly type of thing. I mean, you had certain times for trains leaving Rosley, So there were programmed so that they'd reach certain points. He'd have a running time to Millersdale, we say, and then perhaps he'd have to go slow line at Millersdale to allow an express to go through. And then as soon as the express had gone through, they used to let the freight go. Well, he'd probably have a clearance then to Beat Forest or Chinley.
So it was all about keeping the train moving without getting in each other's way?
Yeah. Yeah, you didn't... I mean, you couldn't be delaying passenger trains because, I mean, they ran to a tight schedule. I mean, if a train left, let's say, St Pancras at 5 o'clock, due in Manchester, we'll say at 12 o'clock, or something like that. And that was its time, you know, it was...
So what was it like spending 8 hours on a shift in a small signal box?
Oh, it wasn't so bad, really. I mean, when you were on early turn, you took your breakfast with you and fried your breakfast. Or little fire in there for brewing up and things like that. Same when you were on afternoons, you had your tea. And at night, when you were on nights, you just had your supper. You didn't bother much about brewing up. Some people did. Somebody brew up all night. All night.
So did you have long hours to kill between trains, or were you always busy?
No, you were pretty busy. Night time was a bit slack because you'd no passengers. But invariably on mornings or afternoons, you wouldn't have a lot of time between trains. I mean, if you hadn't got one on the down road, you got one on the up, so that's how it worked.
I think my father became station master in 1947 at Bronston Station, and one habit for all station staff was to be drinking tea, the train would arrive, or they'd have to go outside for something, and they'd look at their tea and be the dregs, and he threw the dregs of his tea on the railway line. And, you know, it was a flick, a railway, all railwaymen did it, or seemed to me. You also learned how to stride outside. I mean, station masters were really good at this, because they would stand upright, and they look at the train, is it on time? They look at their clocks first, is it on time? They stand on the platform and watch the train in.
And I always remember the old bloke at Bakewell Station, he used to say, Bakewell, 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 Bakewell.
The guard had his flag, and he'd stride out, put his flag on. Oh, the station master was due. And he had a flick like that. It was like that. Two finger flick, really. The train would go.
Could you just sort of go through what your typical journey would be from Buxton to Derby, what you would do in your job?
Well, sort the letters out for a start. They were only letters for the intermediate stations. You see, so there's a letter rack in the guard's van, and then the parcels, and see the passengers got off safely, like, and then all the doors were shut, then with the flag, and we were right away.
This podcast was produced by InHeritage on behalf of the Peak District National Park Authority to celebrate the reopening of the railway tunnels for walkers, cyclists and horse riders on the Monsall Trail. Interviews were conducted in March 2011. Thank you to all who offered their memories of the Midland Railway. We're grateful for funding from Cycling England. Steam locomotive recordings are courtesy of Steam Sounds. Monsall Trail Blues is written by Steve Russell and performed by the Slingshots.